A very good morning to one and all, and very good to see familiar faces. For the past 2 months, we have been learning from the Bible about salvation, and the reason why we embark on that study, even though many of us here, I trust that you are Christians, believers in the Lord, but we needed to know, and we wanted to know, so that as believers, we have the right understanding concerning our own salvation before we can step out to share the gospel and share this good news to our friends, to our neighbors, to those around us. We need to have a right understanding concerning our own salvation before we can do that. And so we have, in the past weeks, we have been looking at what is salvation. We have uncovered the human problem. We have also examined the promise of salvation. We have learned the various divine provision, the provision of Christ, the incarnate Son of God, the provision of the cross, the provision of the resurrection. And last week we talked about the need to have a right perspective of our salvation, the right understanding, the right perception, if you like. All these subjects are the various aspects of God's plan to save sinners. And so we have been looking at that. We commence our study by looking at the past, meaning how it all began. And progressively we come to the present, referring to how we ought to respond in the light of what is revealed to us in the Word of God. And so this morning we want to do or take one further step, and that is to take a glimpse into the future of our salvation, or the climax, if you like, the climax of our salvation. What this means is, what will happen to those of us who are believers, to those of us who are truly Christians? What will happen to us in the end when we finish our race, when we complete our journey, when we die and live this world? What will happen to us? Or, if not, when the Lord Jesus comes again, even in our lifetime, what will happen to us? What will become of believers at that time? And so we want to look at this subject this morning, concerning the promise of our Savior to come again and to bring only the believers back to Himself, to be with Him in heaven. So in the next half hour or so, we shall consider what the Bible scholars will call the consummation of salvation. Don't be frightened by all these theological terms. The word consummation means the bringing of something to a satisfying end, or bringing something to a satisfying conclusion. Or it can mean also the final satisfying completion of something. And one more definition you can put it is, it is the perfect ending of something. That's the meaning of consummation. So in our context, consummation means the bringing of our salvation to a satisfying conclusion, or the final satisfying completion of our salvation, or the perfect ending of our salvation. I like the last part, the perfect ending of our salvation. As I said before, if you have been listening, of course, the salvation plan of God, or God's program to save us, the sinners, has an ending date. It will not be forever. God's offer of salvation to you and me will not be perpetual. Of course, I've always given you the illustration of the entrance to our church, the main door there. alright, as an usher before, every time it comes to a certain point of time, the door will be closed. So it is for salvation that comes from our Lord. Though we do not know when the day will come, but from our study and understanding of the Bible, the day of salvation will end. And the date, or the ending date, if you like, will only be determined by God the Father. Meanwhile, as believers continue in our earthly pilgrimage here, they are told to do something. Believers are told to do something. What are they told to do? Please turn to Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13 says this: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We glean from this text three important matters that all true believers must attend to each day and not forget. The first matter, all believers must be what? Looking in expectation for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking in expectation for that appearing. Secondly, looking while waiting for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking while waiting. Thirdly, looking in preparation for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us consider firstly, looking in expectation of His appearing. Look at verse 11 first of Titus chapter 2. In verse 11, we are told, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What we can understand from verse 11 is that God, in His appointed time, through the person of Jesus Christ, His Son, had revealed to all men, including you and me, His grace. The grace that brought about salvation in us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of that divine grace to man, came into the world to put an end to all the oppression of evil and the guilt of sin that is in us. The grace of God had shone forth very clearly and very richly and made itself visible to all men of all rank in the person and the work of His Son Jesus Christ. This grace which was given was not given to us because of our or any deserving on our part. It is a manifestation of the free, rich, undeserved grace in its fullness to you and me. This immeasurable grace that brings salvation that Paul talks about has already appeared. It has already been given. That's why the word past tense is used, appeared in the past tense. It is a past event, even though the grace of God continues to this day and in the days to come until the return of our Lord and Savior. But that is not all. There is something more for us. Something else will come. And so our Lord Jesus comforted His disciples and comfort us with these words: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that's the beautiful part. That where I am, there ye may be also.
John 14, verses 1 to 3.
And that is why I make it a memory verse for you. I hope that word, you will burn it by the help of the Holy Spirit into your hearts. That where I am, that ye may be also. Jesus right now here in these verses is talking about his own appearing in his second coming. It is also repeated in John 16:22. Therefore, as believers, we are to expect the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Why are we to expect? Because he promised, I will come again. That is his promise to you and me, the believers. Now it is interesting to note, if you look back at Titus 2:13, that under divine inspiration, Paul used the word appearing, and not words like the coming of the Lord or the returning of the Lord, which we commonly use. The word appearing or appearance is certainly a strong implication that Jesus Christ our Lord will come back or will appear in person and not in spirit. In person and not in spirit. It will be a bodily appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe and I think that Paul may have wanted to emphasize that, to bring that out to us, that the appearing, because the word appearing is never used of God the Father, the first person in the triune Godhead. It is only used on or in the Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. It is never used of God the Father appearing, but it is used in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The promise of his glorious appearing or the return of our Lord Jesus is prophesied throughout Scripture. If you have been reading your Bibles, the common terms that is used to describe Christ's second advent or his second coming is the term the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. If you have been reading your Bible, you will come across this throughout Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the day of the Lord, which is referring to Christ's second coming. Christ's return is also foretold. Do you know that? In where? In the parables of the weeds and the tares. Go back and read it for yourself and confirm whether my word is true. And so, based on the promise Christ made, you and I are to look in expectation. We are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he will certainly come as he promised. I will come again. And you can be certain that it will be a bodily appearance and the whole world will see it. Whole world will see it as we are told in the book of Revelation. Next, we come to the second matter that believers must keep in mind, must constantly remember. We are to look or looking while waiting for his appearing. Brethren, we are believers in the waiting. Why do I say that? Because we stand between two appearances. The first, when Christ came as our Savior in the manger. And the second, which is nearing, when he appears again, the second time, now this time what? As a judge sitting upon his throne. Believers begin with Anno Domini. We look forward then to that greater Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. We look forward to that greater year of the Lord, in which he shall come a second time. Now, no longer as a man of sorrow in grief, but in all the splendor of his glory, of his holiness, and of his righteousness, and to reign in righteousness. He will come the second time to break once and for all the power of evil and wickedness that we see around us. Now for the believers, by the grace and mercy of the Lord, you and I, we have looked at Christ's first appearing or first appearance through faith. We have already looked at that. We saw that in faith. Now we look for, while waiting, His second appearance. Brethren, our position in Christ has not been fully established yet. Our salvation has not completed the full cycle, so to speak. Yet, our body is still in that corrupt state, in that state, or oftentimes we find ourselves in pain and in sorrow, isn't it? We continue. Christians are not spared from the troubles, the evil, the wickedness around us. And therefore, we are believers in the waiting. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 23, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption." To wit, W-I-T, to wit means to be liberated or to be delivered, the redemption of our body. We are still in this sin-sick body. Yes, we have the new nature in us, but let us not forget, it is not God's will to remove totally that old sinful nature in us. And therefore, Christian or believers are in the waiting. Waiting to be delivered. Waiting for the full redemption of our body. And we are not waiting for nothing, friends. We are not waiting for nothing. But waiting to be delivered from this corruptible body of sin and death, which we cannot escape. None of us will escape death. But Paul says we are waiting. Waiting to what? Waiting to put on what Paul described as incorruption and immortality in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 to 54. So we have already described what we are waiting for. I want to next look at why believers are waiting. We are waiting not just for the deliverance of this body. We are waiting, brothers and sisters, because this world is not our home. Many a times we as believers, we live our life as though this is our permanent home. No, we are only passing through. And that is why believers are called what in the Bible? Sojourners, strangers. That's what we are called in the Bible. We do not belong here. Our abode is in heaven. That is our final destination. Not here. Remember the verse I read to you just now earlier in John 14 verses 1 to 3? Jesus is preparing us a new home, which is for us, which is called the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21 verse 1. And so we are not here forever, or we will never be here forever. And we Christians are in the waiting, waiting to be transported. Brethren and friends, we are called to wait in expectation, and now we are called to wait for that blessed hope and His glorious appearing. If we do not look to that blessed hope, and if we do not have that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, what hope do you and I have in this sinful and dying world? Think about it. Why place all your hope in this world? in this life. The day will come, and it is coming soon. And I'm repeating this phrase again. It is nearing, nearer than you think, when God will destroy this sinful, wicked world, and every one of us, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you believe it or not, every one of us will come under His righteous judgment one day. And all the signs are pointing to His coming very, very, very near. Only those of us who are in Christ have that blessed hope. And we will certainly and should look in expectation and to wait in earnest for the Lord's glorious appearing. That should be our position. For those of us who are outside the kingdom of God, for those of us who continue to or refuse to believe and have mistrust in the word of God and who do not believe in the truth of the Bible, what hope do you have? Have you considered that, my friends? I tell you what hope you have. You ready for this? I know what hope you have. Because before I'm a Christian, I'm like you. I have that hope. Your hope, my hope, before we became a Christian, is this. It's perhaps your house, your car, your wealth, your money in the bank, your bank account, your business, your pensions, your insurance, your family. What else can you fall back on? What else can you hope? I tell you one more thing. Your qualification, your training, your experience. And perhaps your friends. And perhaps your children, grandchildren. And this reminds me, many years ago, I heard of this accident or this event. One of my friends told me, a bright young man, I think one of the scholars in our country, trained as a civil engineer, only son. The mother, I think she was a widow, and she worked very hard to raise up this son, send him to university. She took up part-time job, two jobs, three jobs. She placed her whole hope on this son because he's brilliant, he's smart, he's a scholar. And indeed, he passed with flying colors, perhaps with cum laude or first class honors or super first class honor, whatever, I don't know. But he passed, flying colors. And of course, the road ahead is all paved up for him. And he worked as a civil engineer in one of the departments to gain the experience perhaps. So the mother was so happy. Finally, my son graduated. Now he can take care of me. I can hope in him. Just 2 weeks after his work, on the job site, as a civil engineer, he has to check the piling of the foundation, and while inspecting the 10 ton or 5 ton hammer, I do not know how heavy it could be, about at least 5 to 10 ton, fell on him, snapping out within 2 weeks after his graduation. You can imagine what happened to the mother. She went mad. Friends, do you and I need to be reminded of all this? You want to place your hope on your children? You want to place your hope on your grandchildren? You want to place your hope on all your wealth, your bank account, your qualification, whatever you find in this world that you think you can place your hope on? You and I, or rather you, do not need me to remind you, my friends. If you place this hope in all of these things, or in any of these things that I have listed, and many more, one day, somehow, it will vanish
and perish away. If not, it will be either taken by what? Sickness, illnesses, diseases. If not, by what? By natural calamities, disasters, or by human mistakes that result in the loss of human lives and properties. The recent case, the Brazilian who was killed, one stupid mistake by the police. Have you and I forgotten also the recent flood in UK? Oh, we Londoners are spared. It will not come to us. It's only up there, in the Midlands. What is this flood? What about the freak tornadoes that swept across Birmingham? And not only there, very near to us. Brother Wasun will testify, Kensal Green, there was another tornado that went sudden, freak. And why are we spared? Because we are better Christians here? Have you forgotten also the fire, the explosion in the petrochemical plant some time back in this country? What happened? Only the petrol plant was destroyed? No. Most of the houses around that area, because of the explosion, destroyed. Still not convinced? Have you not heard or watched over news? The foot and mouth disease, the disease in the cow, which you call what? Blue tongue? I don't know what is this blue tongue disease right now. And those in the farming business, what happened to them when this thing strike? All gone. Their wealth gone. Just like that. What about the stock market crash? Do you and I need another one to remind us that your stock, your shares, your whatever, blue chips, will just go away in minutes? What hope do you have? You are still not convinced that you have no hope in this world? Think of it. The robberies, all these gangs on the streets, the drugs, the killing, thieves that broke into your house to steal, which the Bible talks about. Can you have hope in locking up in your bank vault, your jewelry? What about the rape, the murder? Oh, friends, brothers and sisters, where do you place a hope? If not in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where can you firmly place your hope? Just last night we were talking about all this evil and wickedness that are happening around the world. Do you watch news? Do you read the newspaper? Let me tell you, don't go and waste your time watching all this Big Brother and celebrity show, EastEnders and all this nonsense. Spend your time, watch some of this documentary. Much more worthwhile, and open your eyes to see for yourself there's so much suffering in this world, so much injustice. And we are living in this world. Just that God has been merciful and gracious to spare us. Look at all the poverty around us. Even in this country. What hope do you and I have? If not in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If not in His second coming. If not in the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth. You and I have no hope in this world. All this political talk about the United Nations, and all this debate and argument, all this what? Health program, aid program, delivery of Africa from poverty program. It can only succeed for a while. It will not bring us any hope at all. Listen to what Paul says of this, brothers and sisters. If you are placing your hope in all that you have, in all that you possess, listen to this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is it not true? What did you and I bring into this world? We were born naked, and naked shall we return. So don't bang and put your hope in all that you possess. It will be taken away from you. You cannot carry one single item out of this world when you leave. When I leave this world. What this verse here in 1 Timothy 6:7 means this. It also means this. That what we have in this life are on loan to us. We are not the rightful owner. We want to think, we want to believe that we are the rightful owner. Everything that I have, mine. If it is yours, if it is mine, then why are we not able to take all these things out with us when we leave this world? If you are the rightful owner, as you say, of all that you have, your properties and everything, why is it that you and I cannot bring any single thing out? Because we are only stewards. The Lord loaned it to us for our use while here on this earth. You can never bring anything that you have acquired, anything that you have gained with you out of this world. So let us be sober, be watchful, be vigilant. Don't live in a dreamland. We are people in the waiting, and we are to keep looking at His glorious appearing. We move very quickly now to the third matter that believers must keep in mind. We are to looking in preparation of His appearing. While we look in expectation and to look while waiting, we are not told to wait idling and do nothing and as if staring up into heaven. No, we are to do something while waiting. We are to prepare. Verse 12, Titus chapter 2 teaches us to do what? Firstly, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly what? In this present world, while we continue our pilgrimage here, our journey here, which is short, we are not to wait doing nothing. We are to wait in preparation. And you and I think you, most believers here, do not need me to elaborate in detail. What are we to do while waiting? What this means is that we are to prepare. How do we prepare, or how are we to prepare? The answer is given. Firstly, denying ungodliness. Denying means to reject, to refuse, do not accept. We are to reject, refuse, and do not accept anything that do not show reverence to God or anything that do not promote the glory of God. That is to deny ungodliness. Do not accept all this ungodliness. Do not accept all the practices of the world. Secondly, we are to deny what? Deny worldly lusts. We are to reject, refuse, and not to accept, not to indulge, if you like, in sinful lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. In other words, do not allow anything in this life and in your life to what? To become your gods. Or do not allow anything that will come or stand between you and your God. Do not set your heart on the things of this life. It will be taken away one day. What we have or what are loaned to us is only for our use in this life. You do not need any of this qualification, experience, whatever in heaven. You don't need it. You don't need to bring your car there. No need cars in heaven. No need house. You are living in mansion. Paved streets of gold. Far better than any of the roads in London or in this world. You have a perfect body there. So you don't need all these things. So deny all these worldly lusts in this present world.
Thirdly, leading or live soberly. That means believers are to exercise what? Self-restraint, self-control. Don't give in to temptation. Be prudent. Be wise. Keep your mind sound. That's what we are supposed to do while waiting, while preparing for our Lord to come. Not to fill our mind with all this rubbish. What you see on TV, what you read on all this news. But fill it with something else. With the Word of God. With things that are pure. Of good virtue. Of good report. That's what Paul says in Philippians. Fourthly, live righteously or living righteously and godly. That means living an upright life in the presence of God and in the presence of man. A godly life or in a godly manner. That's how we should live as believers. In all our dealings with our fellow man, make sure you deal rightly. Don't cheat. Don't lie. That's how we should prepare for the Lord's coming. I just want to give in brief. Time does not permit me to go in detail. But you, I trust that those of us who are believers, you ought to know. And if you do not know, search the scripture and to find out for yourself how you ought to deny ungodliness, how you ought to deny worldly lust, how you ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in preparation for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have already seen the first appearing by faith. We have already received the grace of God. We should right now continue as believers to manifest forth the power of that grace through our godly living and our godly conduct. That's what we should do in this present world. Waiting for our Lord's second coming means getting ready, preparing for that day while we continue to live in this present world. Just like what the five wise virgins did in preparing for the return of the bridegroom. That's what the parable in Matthew 25 verses 1 to 13 is teaching us. The five wise virgins, while waiting for the return of the bridegroom, prepared themselves. They keep their lamp burning. And so you and I must keep our life burning for the Lord. That is preparation. Don't waste your time and waste your energy and effort on all those things that do not count in eternity. All those things that you do not need and do not use in heaven. Sure, we must do our best. Sure, we must study hard. Sure, we must give of our best to our master and to our earthly master for the glory of God. But don't set your heart on all these things. We are only passing by. For some of us, maybe longer. For some of us, maybe shorter. As the Lord so will. Brethren and friends, God started the work of salvation. And He will certainly bring to a perfect end of that perfect work that He had wrought in you and me. And He has promised that, and He will. As for the believers, God has appointed us as recipients of that grace. So let us continue to look to Him in expectation of His coming, for surely He will come. And during our brief journey here in this life, let us be encouraged also what? By that grace that we have received. Encouraged by that grace that we have received to live a godly life, well-pleasing to the Lord, in serving Him, in building up one another in the faith of the Lord. And let us keep looking while waiting, patiently for His return. Yes, I know that many of us are going through difficult times. There are so much to be done. You are under pressure, you are under stress because of study, because of work, because of the demand of this life. Remember, brothers and sisters, all that you are going through, the suffering, the pain, the sorrow, the heartaches, are only temporal. It will soon be over. Meanwhile, let's press on, let's persevere on, let us encourage one another to press on in our walk with the Lord, waiting, looking in expectation. May all the believers be comforted by the words of Paul in Galatians 6 verses 9 to 10. I read to you, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. May the Lord help us. Our Father in heaven, we pray, O Lord, for your Spirit to seal your word in our hearts and turn us unto thee and wean our hearts from the things of this life, from the sins that so easily beset us, and help us to look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we have no other hope, not in this life, but in our Lord and Savior. So turn us unto thee, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, 221.